Stay tuned.
Blog Talk Radio.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Southwest Airlines says staff shortages are partly to blame for delays in service nationwide. Miami International Airport spokesman Greg Chin says some travelers are getting stranded.
We've seen people trying to rebook, and they showed up for their flight, and then the flight either got delayed and then eventually canceled or was canceled.
Chin says almost all Southwest flights to and from Miami were canceled over the weekend, and the delays and cancellations are continuing. The flight tracking website FlightAware reports Southwest has canceled 30% of its schedule today. There's also speculation the problems were caused by employee sick calls in response to a new federal COVID vaccine mandate. A federal whistleblower is slamming leaders of the Capitol Police over the January 6th attack on the building. Michael Kastner reports.
The unidentified whistleblower sent a letter to lawmakers accusing two top Capitol Police officials of not sharing vital intelligence before the attack. The letter called it astounding and also accused the leaders of not doing enough to help officers who were fighting for their lives. The two Capitol Police officials are identified as Assistant Chief Yogananda Pittman and Sean Gallagher, the head of Uniform Operations.
Senator Lindsey Graham is set to visit the border in Arizona today to talk with U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials. Graham is expected to address the issue of security along the U.S.-Mexico border. The South Carolina Republican's office said he'll tour migrant processing facilities and meet with border officials. It will be his third trip to the border this year, following a visit to Arizona in February and Texas in March. The Supreme Court weighs the fate of the convicted Boston Marathon bomber this week. The Biden administration wants the high court to reinstate the death penalty for Johar Tsarnaev. A lower court overturned his death sentence. Tsarnaev and his brother detonated two pressure cooker bombs at the Boston Marathon finish line in 2013. Three people were killed and more than 250 others were injured. The brother was killed during a confrontation with police. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
If you're successful in life, you understand the concept of protecting yourself. Let me ask you this. Are you protecting your family and your assets with quality term life insurance? At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000, $1 million, or more. So call us right now for a free, no-pressure quote. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are your thoughts keeping you small? Are you ready to get big? I will offer you ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. Explore what is keeping you small and how to shift your behaviors in order to get big. Learn what is possible for you. Get ready to get big and live life out loud starting now.
Carrie, kick us off.
Hey, good morning, Princess, and everybody listening. I love the music because it rolls like jam into it. Yes. Are you ready to talk about the little things? That's our topic for today.
Yeah.
How we can focus on enjoying the little things in life. And I think it's so great to talk to this topic with you specifically because you are so great at noticing things in the world. You're very attentive to things, and you also live life in a really big way. So I'm excited to have this conversation with you today about little things, the little things.
You know, it's interesting. Can I talk about this for a minute? Before we get rolling, for those of you, Carrie Knutson joining me here today, Get Big Out Loud is her show. And what I love about Carrie is it doesn't matter whether I'm doing a show with her or not. I am kind of following her lead in a sense. And I want to tell you why for a minute. And then this has to do with our topic today, Carrie. You know, one of the things I love about you, and it's been such an honor to take this journey with you, is it didn't matter, like, what was going on the outside, whether you were back in school, whether you are not back in school, whether the kids are back in school. What Get Big Out Loud has been in the forefront of all of it. And people may not know this about you, but I just want to talk about this for 1 second because it is a big thing and it's a little thing. Your business is to speak. Knutson speaks. And like so many, the idea of speaking in the traditional way we've been doing it that has been something we've had to arrange and rearrange. And today we decided to talk about the little things for a reason. And the reason I love the little things is because we're, you and I are not going to define for everybody today what we think is big and what we think is little, right? Isn't that the subjective nature of this? So let's just start off by being clear about that, Carrie, right?
Oh, I love that you brought that up, because the idea of, yes, what's big and little, what's meaningful, what's important, how you perceive the world, I feel like your perceptions, your opinions, your realities are very much yours. And that whole idea of judgment, what is a little thing to you versus someone else, or a big thing, you know, can really keep us from engaging in our own life, with our own mindset, with our own, I'd say, like, affirmations of our experience, and also our own knowledge about what makes us feel good, what makes us feel like we're living, what things in our environment light us up, right? What things do we notice? So, yes, it's very subjective, and it should be. It absolutely should be.
You know, it's interesting. I was having a chat with somebody this morning, you know, she who will not be named, but you had the chat with her, too. And it's Monday, and so on Monday, I make sure that I do what most entrepreneurial people do, and that is we go in and we take a look at our bank accounts and we see what we're doing and where we are and how we're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you go in and what you notice is that you notice, like, it's Monday, and for my bank in particular, you're just wondering what is up with them. You know, why is some of the transactions taken and some of them are not?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people say to me, why do you even bother looking? Why do you do that? Why do you go there? And I will say that as a business person, which is so out of the content for me in context of how I operate, I've had to pay attention to little things that I would not normally pay attention to. And let me just say why. So for some people, this is a little thing, like checking to make sure that there wasn't some kind of activity with my bank that they put a freeze on my account. Now, that's the good news. That's a little thing that they do to prevent a big thing. Those are the kinds of things we do every day to keep ourselves going.
Mm-hmm.
But there are little things when our confidence is lagging, when we're feeling emotional, when we're just plain tired.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't know how to bring it back to that calm central place. And that's what you're talking about here today.
Definitely, because I feel like our lives are so on high. Like, you know, we're going, we're busy, or we're crazy busy, whatever we say. And the idea of the quote that I wanted to share was, you know, one day you, like, oh, I have to make sure I get the quote right.
You're like me. You're like me with the post, right?
Hold on. I got it right here because I know I did it. Always little things. For one day, you may look back and realize they were the big things. That's exactly, I want to get it right, right? And the whole idea of this to me is many times we go through our lives and we're rushing around doing the things, but we don't realize we're missing the little things, and I feel like we'll get to them later, right? We'll get to enjoy myself later or notice things later. But the invitation today is sometimes when we're going on such a high speed or our life's so chaotic or we just are existing, you know, just trying to get to the next thing, we're really missing out on the human experience, right, of enjoyment, of pleasure, of slowing down, of noticing. And the reason I think this quote is so beautiful about one day you'll realize that the little things were the big things is usually when we think about when you get sick or when you see people on their deathbeds, they're like, all they're saying is, tell so-and-so I love them or make sure you know they love them, or they'll relive moments of their lives that were special. They were like, I'm so glad I stayed at work extra all those days. I'm glad I just burned myself out at the office. I'm thinking of all those days I barely ate or slept because I was doing whatever. No one's reflecting on that, right?
Yeah,
and I think that's also true when you see, you know, friends and family, you know, your lives change. And let's say you have friends from college and you are busy in your lives and you haven't seen them for a while. And yet when you reconnect, and they see you as a person, not as your job or as your status, you're seen again. And that's like a little thing, right? In a world full of busyness, we get to be seen sometimes just for who we are without our titles or our status. So the whole idea of how do we notice some of those little things now, even in the chaos and the busyness, because this is, it's kind of like dualistic thinking. I'll either be totally on, I said like the Fast and the Furious, or I'm going to be in like a restorative yoga class, right? Like totally zen, appreciating, listening to my body, understanding my breathing, listening to the sounds in the room. And I kind of feel like most of us, it's like I'm either fully on, or if I'm noticing little things, I'm in a restorative yoga class situation. So my goal is to say, how can we find a middle way?
Yeah.
Right? How can we still live our lives and be noticing the little things? And what can that do to improve our lives? That's what I want to talk about.
I think it's so important to talk about it because, and again, I like the one we started out about this, is what may be a little thing for me is not a little thing for you. What may be a bigger thing for me is not necessarily. So we're not here to tell you what's big or little. That's it. Throughout the show, ask yourself the question, what is a little thing for me? And you're going to see how Carrie's going to walk us through this, because we're going to walk through this and we're going to look back. And the question I think that you ask is so brilliant in this. Are we truly living, or are we merely existing? Are we truly living, and are we merely existing? And, you know, I got it. Can I just digress for a second?
Sure.
Okay. So when I need to have a little space, like all three of us worked all last week and over the weekend. And Olivia is at the helm here helping us out this week. And thank you, Olivia. I can't thank you enough. And so we're here. So I got a call from one of our hosts, right? Took care of that. I met with three clients, did a bunch of interviews. So last night I texted Jessica and I said to Jessica, hey, have you gone to see A Quiet Place 2 yet? Because we talked about that. So that's like a little scary movie, but like one of my favorite all-time Quiet Place. I just, anything. Emily Blunt can do anything, and I'll watch her. And she said, yeah, it's really good. And I said, you know what? After going through 438 emails just today, I think what I'm going to do is rewatch A Quiet Place 2. And I watched that thinking about our show today. It is a movie. Of course, it is a scary movie, but it's filled with little things. The movie's filled with little things, you know, and I thought about this in preparation for today. We could go through life.
For people, I haven't seen the movie. For people,
I'm not going to talk about it because I don't want to give out the punchline.
But what little things made it good? Like, what is it about
this? Yes. I was just getting ready to ask you about this. I want to hear from you. We've gone through a big thing in 22 months, but we've gone through a lot of new little things. Can you talk about this idea of experience both little things, big things, but one of them really points to merely existing, and the other one points to living, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody listening knows what both of those feels like, right?
Sure. Well, that's why we're talking about it, because it's such a human experience, right? It's not about working in a certain industry. It's about our humanness, right? And so I think the quote that we're talking about is a Jack London quote that says, the proper function of man is to live, not exist. And I think when we look at our lives, many times, if you really look at it without judgment, it's not a judgment, but a lot of times, we can tell, oh, okay, this part of my life is I was just existing here. And then we see other parts of us, oh, I'm really living here. And so the invitation is to be like, well, what am I doing when I'm really living? And it doesn't mean that everything's perfect, right? It doesn't mean that everything has to be in this ideal state, because this is another thing we tend to do as humans. It's just how our brains work. We are always living in the future. And it's always, when I do this, then I'll be happy. When I do this, I'll have more time for this. Once this happens, I will feel like I've achieved success. Once it's like, it's always this racing towards the future. And then we're constantly never catching up to ourselves, right? And so we never exist in the moment of, what if in this moment, I'm okay right now? I'm doing the best that I can with what I have in this moment. And is that enough? Am I enough? And what if it doesn't have to be perfect to be really good? or even in situations like that are very sad, when I'm thinking, for example, like when my father passed away, in the moment of being by his bedside and doing all that, I've never been so present, I think, to like everything around me and the sounds and stuff like that. And it was actually amazing to get to be fully present in that moment. So even I wouldn't say that was a joyful moment. I'm so glad I was present, truly present. And the small things were the little things that happened, like that you wouldn't think. The big thing is that he passed. The small things are the things my uncle said, the thing the nurse said, the way my mom and I talked, the special song we ended up singing, like all the things that I look back on, the little things in that big moment were what tethered me. And it wasn't because it was an exciting, fun moment. It was sad. It was the end of a life, but I still was present. And that's why I feel like in our lives, we're kind of on the hit for what's good, what's great, what's exciting. And that's not what this is about. This is living our real lives, our very real lives, in the present moment. And one, there's a quote that I love that I want to share that says, if you're living in the past, you're probably depressed. If you're living in the future, you're probably anxious. And if you're living in the present, you can probably find peace. Mm. And I don't know who to attribute that to, but the part I love about the quote is, it doesn't say if you're living in the present, you'll be happy. It says, if you're living in the present, you can probably find peace. And I love the idea that finding peace, even in the midst of worry and strife and busyness and our daily to-dos and all that, could we rise above, to me, like the low-level expectation that we all are harried, running around, tired, exhausted, frustrated, waiting for that special day.
Yeah.
Be in the moment of our lives, in this moment that we're in right now. And that's what appreciating the little things is about.
And I love that we're talking about this, because let me tell you about a little word, that if you hear the little word or you start to speak the little word, you know you're at a tipping point. You know you're at the place between becoming a victim or becoming empowered. And it's the word I can't. And the reason I love this word is because I learned this lesson myself a number of years ago. And I would go into my boss, and I would be like, I can't. And I remember her sitting there, Mary Louise Smith, and saying, and just looking at me and saying, you know what? That's not the right word. You really mean you choose not to. Is that what you're saying? I said, no, I can't. And she's like, no, you're choosing not to. And I remember this, and I'm not going to take up the entire show, because she did this for about 20 minutes with me. Like the whole thing was that, just back and forth, the whole thing. Until she said, why don't you choose something different? And I said, like what? She said, why don't you choose this? Now, that may be to everybody out there, like you may be thinking, I know how to do that. But that is a little thing. That was actually a big thing.
But see, you're talking out there a change in your conscious way of thinking,
yes.
Right? And to me,
yes.
Is the pivotal thing that we have control over, to become conscious of our thinking and then how we speak and then the actions that we take because of the thoughts. And so in that moment, why it was so important for you is because something changed in how you thought. So every time you say, I can't, you have, instead of your brain saying, yep, I can't, and agreeing with that, you've set something new in place to be like, I can't. Oh, I'm making a choice. Do I have another choice? The same as like when people say, I heard this once and I really like this, when people say, I'm too busy, instead of saying I'm too busy, saying that's not a priority for me right now.
Because
We can get things done and the things get done even when we're busy. But I love that way of saying, is if I'm too busy for all this, like really thinking of it more as a priority, as a way to shift my own thinking about busyness. Like, that's not really a priority for me right now. And I was like, wow, that's a different energy to it. That's a different opening. That's a different level of blame or ownership. So I really like what you said, because I think that puts it back squarely on you to decide.
Yeah. Tell me what you do with this. Tell me if I handle this correctly. And then we're going to jump into some identifying some really little things that really are little things to us. But everybody think about it. So I noticed something really interesting happening.
And I get a couple of calls, and I work with the host, and I talk to you all on a regular basis. What I noticed all of a sudden, and I talked to Linda and Jessica about this, is almost every person we're talking with starts out by saying, Pat, we know how busy you are. And even in emails. And I looked at Jessica and Linda, and I said, I wonder where everybody's getting, I wonder where they're getting this from. I said, because I'm no more, to use the word, I'm no more busy than I've been, like, all my life. I mean,
right.
I don't feel like I don't have enough time to do things. And I said, you know, I have a full schedule because I want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I have a full schedule doing what I love because I really choose to do that. And it's such a different energy. And, you know, the three of us had to look at that and say, yeah, you know, it's really interesting that folks wouldn't understand that even with my full schedule, even talking to them on weekends, I choose to do that. So I don't do that from a place of overload or overwhelm. And it's a nuance. But can you see the energy shift in that, though?
Oh, yes. And that's where the energy shift is connected to our feelings, right? So when we have energy, that motivates us in a different way than it's out of my control. I can't possibly. I'm just this. Like we give up, right? But then we let other things pretend like they're in control of our lives. And really what makes us feel good in some level is what do I have control over? What can I own as my own? You know, I was batting myself up. But that idea of like ownership, right, and also self-directedness and thoughtfulness. And I talk about consciousness all the time, and it really just is another way of saying bringing awareness to how you are thinking, right? Because then that can create changes in actions and behaviors, and that is so powerful. And it doesn't have to be like to be earth-shattering. It's a small shift. It could be a small shift. And Dr. Pat, what's interesting to me about when you say, you know, I'm busy because I choose to be, there's a difference between you being busy because you choose to be, and then there's another person out there, you're like, well, she's that busy, so I better be as busy too, or I got to hustle for my work.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference in saying, like, I'm busy because I choose to be, and this is what I like to do, and this is how I like to do it.
But I don't even see myself as busy.
But other people might. Have you ever
do?
Oh, my gosh.
Anybody who looked at my calendar, if you looked at our calendar, we should actually show our calendar once in a while on the video. People would look at that and be like, oh, my goodness. But the little things have a feeling, give us a response, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm talking about, you know, I'm talking about the perceptions, right? We have to really find that group. You know, let's talk about some little things. Let's start with flowers.
Okay.
Let's start right there. Go ahead.
I wrote a list of little things, and one of the things that brings me great joy, no matter what season or what's happening, is flowers. Either seeing flowers blooming, noticing other people's flowers, buying flowers. I buy flowers for myself every week. And one time my neighbor said, you always have fresh flowers. Why? And I'm like, oh, I love them. Like, I just find incredible joy. And literally, it doesn't have to be fancy at all, but I'm not waiting for anyone to buy me flowers. And if I did, I'd get my, like, birthday, Mother's Day kind of situation. But I want them every week, and I love them. And so, to me, taking the time to grow my own flowers, like, in my yard, I spent, like, one morning over the weekend just, like, cleaning up my flower beds, and I just thought about being near flowers for me and seeing difference and possibility and colors, something in me resonates, right, with that. And noticing that, like sometimes I'll notice a bud opening and I'll be like, oh, I wonder if it's coming tomorrow. Like I get all, you know, and then you might be thinking, what? Right, but to me, for an unknown reason, that brings me great joy and I have access to it and I put it into my life because I need a little hit sometimes of that idea of like beauty, color, growth, opportunity, new, whatever words you know you want to associate, that's what I think about. And so I put the flowers into my life in different ways as a little thing that brings me great joy and also a reminder to look in my environment. So to see the beauty in the differences, right? And so that is a quick and easy way for me. And I've done that for quite a long time now. And it's just something that feeds my soul.
And I love that we're talking about it because we get to, if we know that about someone, then we get to appreciate that about them without a judgment around it. Linda is not a big flower person, although loves flowers, but loves African violets. And so as kind of a little housewarming to the new apartment, right, new house, she gets this African violet, right, these little African violet things, right? And Linda can get them to grow like it's nobody's business. So we get it. It's sitting up there by the sink, right? Mm-hmm. Then she gets another one. And here I am, right? And you could hear Linda's thoughts. You better not kill this because I'm not great with African violets, okay? And she pointed out to me the orchid that I just killed. I'm great with other things, like the plant behind me. This was dead a long time ago, and I'm bringing it back to life. Roses, great with roses. All the roses were dead. They're back to life. But I know that about her, and I'm taking great care. And see, that's why little things are important, because they also connect us. See, they connect us. If we take the time to share those things, if we take the time to appreciate those things first with ourselves, then with others, these little things are relationship superpowers, don't you think?
Oh, my gosh. It's making me think of a story I want to share about exactly when you say relationship superpowers. About when I shared something that was a little thing. And it was funny when I shared it. This was with a group of entrepreneurs a few years back. And I was just on my journey. This was around 7 or 8 years ago when I just started off. And I was like attending this meeting with entrepreneurs. And they had asked for people to speak on their money goals and times when money had meaning. And I kind of felt ridiculous about this, but I also wanted to share because these were people making so much more than me. We're talking like in the millions, and I'm making in the hundreds or the thousands. You know, I'm really starting my business. And I told them, though, the very first time I got paid to speak, I got paid $40. And I was so excited because I thought, as soon as I get paid to speak, I'm going to go open a bank account, my business bank account, with my $40. And that means I'm legit. Like, I'm doing it, right?
Yeah.
$40. I literally went into the bank, like, woo, I got this $40. And then I slid it across the counter. And I'm like, can you look up Knutson Speaks? And I gave them the account number. Like, does it say Knutson Speaks? They're like, yes. I'm like, let me see it. And it said, so this is my first check. And I said, and will you give me a receipt? The guy's like, absolutely. I'm like, okay, let me see it. Let me see that in the bank. And then I saw it, and then I got my receipt that my first deposit into Knutson Speaks was $40. And I was overjoyed. And it wasn't, the small thing wasn't the amount of money. It was that I had made money doing something that I loved. And in that moment, like appreciating it and making the teller like, let me see the screen and let me see, and then feeling in my heart, so proud of myself in that moment. And the reason I shared it with this entrepreneur group, because I wanted to talk about how money, sometimes striving for money and getting to the number is not what makes us happy. It's like, what are we doing to fulfill our purpose and then get paid for it? And that's how I wanted to talk about business. So that was the point of the story. But I couldn't believe how once I shared that, people came up to me and they're like, I've lost my joy. I'm just about the numbers, or you're in your $40 story, whatever. And so it was amazing that that story connected people more to their purpose. And it wasn't about the actual, like, I've made $40,000. It was just like, it was the idea of feeling joy around being paid to put something out in the world and then starting something. Like, my business will start with this $40. And so I thought that idea of sharing, to me, your little things sometimes inspires other people to think about their little things, right? Or helps them to say, oh, she's really in the moment with that. How can I be more in the moment, even if it's not about the same thing, right? So when we share our little things, it invites other people to either share in our moment and get a good feeling from that, or it inspires them sometimes to think about their own little things.
Yeah. I love that you're talking about this. We're going to take a short break. Carrie Knutson joining me here today. And by the way, she also mentioned where you can find out more about her. Go to Knutson Speaks. It's K-N-U-T-S-O-N speaks.com. You can listen to her shows on Transformation Talk Radio, also on our website. And, you know, what we're doing today is just that, get big out loud. We're going to get big out loud about the little things. And I love that you're talking about this. One of our listeners sends me thank you notes on a regular basis. She's amazing. Thank you notes on a regular basis. And in them, she'll clip out articles, she'll write things, and she'll put money in an envelope. And I get those, and I have kept every one and every bit of what she sent with me. And people say, well, geez, you know, how do you do that in your day? How do you know? First of all, I read every email I get. Secondly, I open my own mail, right? And sometimes it'll go to Benny, and Benny will have to forward it to me. But if we're not taking time for the little things, then how do you accumulate the energy of multiple little things that could literally transform your mind and your heart and your body? When we come back, are you living or are you existing? Do you have a sense of what that means? When we come back, we're going to talk about a number of little things that may make you smile, but in the end, do you want to live? Do you really want to live? Do you really, really want to live? Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back. Even though your home base is one Enneagram type, you have characteristics of all the types. Tune in to Enneagram Conversations with Renee Siegel the second and fourth Monday of each month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn how you can unlock your unlimited potential. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more about Renee and her work. That's the letter U, the letter R, PurePotential.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Can you truly say that you know and love yourself? Corny Cottrell is an author, speaker, and 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy, here to encourage you to take back your power and live your life with intention and purpose. Tune in to Unapologetically Favored every fourth Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Walk in your purpose. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Corny.
Do you remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest? The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martineemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Boy, hey everybody, welcome back. This is Get Big Out Loud, Carrie Knutson and me, Dr. Pat. This is about living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life. And Carrie, you decided to talk about the little things. Before we get to that, just fill us in a little bit on what you've been up to and how people can find out more about it.
Yes. So if you want to find out anything about me, you can go to KnutsonSpeaks.com. That's KnutsonSpeaks.com. And what I've been doing is I'm a therapist by training, and I started doing talks, really public speaking around things like emotional intelligence or conflict resolution or mindfulness, and it's grown. And since the pandemic, I've switched into virtual, and now I'm just starting, some people are requesting in person again, which is getting exciting. So kind of in that place of doing both. And then because I was doing so much speaking, I also decided I want to help people who want to speak be better speakers. So then I offer coaching for people who want to improve their public speaking or just feel more confident around it. So that's been great. And then I also have a one-woman storytelling show that I hope that maybe in the spring we'll be able to do it again. So basically everything I do is about taking psychology off the couch and taking ideas that we find in psychology directly to people, like you who are listening, and to people in my presentations to make it tangible and relevant and useful for their daily lives.
And I think this is part of the conversation that we're having, too. So thank you for sharing that. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're having the conversation here in, you know, some of the changes we're making so that we can get bigger, out louder, and, you know, with positive media and positive talk. Before the break, what I was asking people was to think about the little things. And I made a statement, and I would love for you to comment about them. You know, if I got the little thing, well, I'm just going to call it little thing one here, right? And then I'm doing little thing two. Before you know it, you're accumulating the energy of this. It almost takes on a life of its own and its own momentum. Every time I do the dishes, I see those violets, those two little things that Linda put in a little plate telling me water them from the bottom, and I'm reminded of my best friend. Mm-hmm. It's a little thing. And every time I do the dishes, I'm looking at them, and I'm doing the dishes, and it's there. Can you talk about that? Because if we're not talking about the emotional intelligence side of this, you know, the emotional intelligence side of the little things and understand the value of it, then sometimes, you're right, we will not take time for them.
Yes, and part of really understanding why it's important, the idea between living and existing, right? Just going through our days or taking time to notice the little things. And to me, it, again, doesn't have to be an either or. There has to be a middle road. And the reason I think it's important to do this is because when you notice the little things, that creates a feeling in you, right? So like a feeling of calm or of hope or of understanding or whatever it may be. But our feelings tend to drive us, right? And our thoughts about our feelings drive us even more. Like if we can find calm in the moment, or if we can breathe in a moment, or if we can notice something in our environment that brings us joy, even if we're not having a moment of joy, like the whole thing doesn't have to be perfect again. But I'm thinking about little things like when I brought our cat T-Rex to the vet one time, and I always laugh when they're like, T-Rex Knutson, you're up, T-Rex? And people were giggling and I was giggling too, and I was like, she's mighty, you know, whatever. But just that little moment of giggling, right? Like, T-Rex is the name of our cat, and that's what T-Rex Knutson, you're up. So just laughing with other people, right? And even this weekend, I was on my way to a gig in Colorado. I was driving, and this guy he was driving a car, and his dog was in the front seat with him, with his ears flapping out the window and looking. And he had the dog had the best face. So we pulled up to the stoplight together, and I was like, this dog was making me laugh just by its sheer enjoyment of the wind in his ears. And the guy was driving his car, but the dog was enjoying the moment. And I just said, I've loved seeing your dog enjoy sticking his head out the window very much. It made me giggle, right? So to me, that is a fleeting moment. Those are like little fleeting moments, right? But when we have those moments and we can appreciate them, what it does is over time you find yourself, how am I feeling about my life? Well, how am I feeling about my opportunities? What am I noticing in my environment that I've created? Like my kids drew a sign during the pandemic, said, keep your hopes up. And I have that sign in my office now, and I've seen it so many times that sometimes I don't even see it. But the other day I was cleaning, I was doing laundry and cleaning, picking up God knows what along the floor, right? And then I was like, I looked up and I saw that sign and I was like, yes, like I can, you know, and they drew these cute balloons on there in spirit. Like it was so sweet. And I thought, it made me think about the cuteness of the moment and how they were trying to be supportive in their way. And like, I just took a moment to look at that picture. That's all. And then I went about my day, but it changed because in that moment, I brought some consciousness to it. I let myself be there. I let myself go to that memory. I let myself breathe. And it just, those things add up in your day, either to help, to me, like set you up for success, or if you're really stressed out and high and tense and all that stuff, it helps loosen, you know, your energetic grip on tension. It allows for moments of levity or softness or awareness to kind of tackle the tightness that some of us feel.
We've been getting to work a little bit early. I'm a morning person, and it doesn't mean I can't, you know, stay up a little bit later. But, you know, I average about 5 hours of sleep. I've never really got more than – I can't remember any time in my life ever. Like, I can't remember ever where I needed, like, oh, I got to get my 8 hours. Never. That's never been me. That's like Linda, but that's maybe Jessica, but that's like never been me. So I get up earlier and I leave the road earlier. So I'm on the road at 6 o'clock this morning to come in because we have an exciting new producer starting today. And I get in and I haven't seen something like this since I lived in Jersey. And I'm on this back road that I decided to take to work and a raccoon family, the family. The little baby raccoons, they came first, crossing the road. Okay, I'm like holding my breath, like, please, don't have a car come. And then it crossing, and then I don't know if it was the mama, the papa, or whatever. And because I slowed down.
Uh-huh.
And they turn their head to look, and they keep walking. Now, why is that a thing? I'm a spiritual person. I've also studied in certain traditions. That was a thing for me. See, that's a little thing. That's not, oh, my God, the raccoons. That was like, I got to look at the meaning of that today.
What did you feel in the moment when you saw them? Was it excitement? Was it interest? Was it
oh, my God, it was such a mixed feeling because not the first time that I've been confronted with an entire family. I even got confronted with a raccoon family in Florida, and, like, I didn't even know they lived in Florida. But in New Jersey growing up, you know, and especially in the countryside, you know, a lot of raccoons, but very rarely do you see a family cross the road in front of you. And as opposed to Linda, who is the queen of rabbits, all of a sudden rabbits. Linda goes back to Jersey. There are no rabbits. And I looked this up and see, this is a little thing. And the reason I'm talking about it is because not only was it a thing, but it kind of hit me emotionally. And what did it remind me of? It sort of took me to another place in my life, right? Time.
Mm-hmm.
To another place, like, you know, beautiful place I lived. And then it brought me right back here. And I slowed down enough to let that family pass. And then I came here and I looked it up, you know. So this morning when I came in, I started to look it up and I looked it up. But see, that is a little thing that I took a moment to take in. How long did it take for them to finish crossing the road? Not even like 30 seconds. All right, because they were like moving like fast, right? Like, and I don't know why the babies were out in front, but, you know, they went and then. But I really took a moment to take that in. And, you know, in nighttime when they look, their eyes like shimmer.
Mm-hmm.
That was my little thing moment today.
But that's so great. Like, this is my little thing moment, and I'm saying it's a little thing moment, and it only took 30 seconds, but something in me shifted. That's what you're saying. You know, I had a feeling of a time from before, a feeling of being in the present, wondering if it means something, right? Like, you've made a situation like there's raccoons crossing the road into something that has a meaning for you, right? Because this is what I like to say. We are meaning-making machines. We will make meaning out of everything, right? For better or for worse. Right? But when you can say, like, this is my little moment for today, right? This, like, sweet little moment that I'm giving it meaning, right? And so many times we ascribe negative meaning to things that we forget that we could either be neutral or it might be something special to us. Or, like you said, if it could be a little thing for you, how might that shift your day a bit? How might that set you up in another way? How might that be tweaking something in your mind to be a little more conscious or open-minded?
It was the perfect message for me today, just like you were talking about before. I mean, one of the meanings of raccoon is to live in the moment and find each day to celebrate life in your own way. That's one of the messages. But when you read on about them, they warn you. They say this is a sign where you have to let go of a situation, a person, belief, or a habit. You have to let go of that. You have to look inward to stop. This is like one little thing. Has given me this big, and the reason I'm bringing it up is, how often do you get symbols in your life? How often do things don't show up and you don't take the time?
Oh my gosh! Speaking of that, I have to tell you one symbol I had in my life.
Yeah.
An animal that was amazing. I was in Costa Rica at this yoga retreat center, and they had beds like kind of these cabins, and they had mosquito netting over them. It was a little bit rustic. When one day I came back from the showers to my bedroom, and on my post was a huge, what looked like from the outside to be a brown butterfly. But then when it opened its wings, it's blue. And it is just sitting there. And these are very famous in Costa Rica. But the butterfly is brown, and then it's blue. And it's sitting on my bedpost, and I'm like, oh my God, it is the most beautiful, biggest butterfly I've ever seen. And I'm enraptured by the whole thing. Well, outside my cabin, this guy is walking down the path, and he was one of the instructors, and I don't know how many people speak English or Spanish or whatever. I don't know anything, and I'm basically, this is after my first day there, and he just walks by where I am, and he says, ah, and because I'm like, Mariposa, Mariposa, and he goes, ah, transformation. And then he just keeps walking. And then the whole reason I was in Costa Rica at this yoga place was like I was looking for transformation. I wanted to like open myself up to stuff. I've been going through a bad breakup and my life was changing and I was like, who am I now moment. But all he said was, all that really happened in real life, there was a butterfly on my bedpost and a man said, transformation. And then I took that and made it meaningful for me. But that, of my whole trip to Costa Rica, you know what I remember most? Butterfly on my bedpost.
Exactly.
Weeks and weeks traveling around, going to yoga retreat, taking adventures, doing zip lines, hiking around, seeing volcanoes. But if you said, what's the one memory from Costa Rica? I would say seeing that blue butterfly and feeling like transformation was possible for me.
Yeah.
Because it was a symbol. But see how I made up a whole story?
I love that you did that, though, because, you see, you know, did you actually make up a story or was that the message that was meant to be given to you? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like the butterfly was the catalyst. What you did with that, what I'm doing with the raccoon, when I looked this up and I leaned into it, and, you know, it says, this is a signal that you should accept the gifts being offered. This is a symbolism that reminds you to leave no stone unturned in your quest for the resolution. Look at the whole picture. You know, you'll get the solution. You know, raccoon tells you ingenuity is what you have. And then it goes on and it says something interesting. And it says both the raccoon is both shy and charismatic at the same time. And I said, you know, that is interesting about me. I'm very shy. I know, laugh. Go ahead. Laugh out loud. Go ahead, Terry. Laugh out loud. I am really shy. I mean,
I can see that about you, though. I can see that.
Can you see it?
Yes, I can see it because I see you, too, as a performer and being on stage and doing things like this. But I also see the private side of you, the things that you're close with your friends about. I can see two things being true for you at once. That you do this on a certain level because it feeds something, but it doesn't mean you're naturally extroverted and like that this is your, a lot of extroverted people and introverted people, I think, get missed, like, oh, I can't do that because I'm an introvert. I can't do that because I'm an extrovert or I'm shy, whatever. You're shy and you do it anyway. Or,
yep.
So I can see that.
And that's why I love talking with you about the little things today, because what I want to invite our listeners to do is the following. It doesn't have to be a big list. Like today, the raccoon, that face of that raccoon, that thing is, that's like it's embedded on my soul because the messaging in that is so powerful to me at the moment. It's such a reminder. What is it that's showing up for all of you today? You know, there's another thing. You want me to say something that's really interesting. One of the other things, if you look at Carrie's screen right now, you'll see a twinkly tree. And you'll see in my background a twinkly tree. And say to me, okay, we know why you do stuff like that. You're like just a little bit off. You know, if you come in my house, I have little lights that go on timers. But there's something about reminding ourselves of the brightness. So that is a reminder. And why don't we invite people today to step up and look at the little things without judgment?
Mm-hmm.
A raccoon family, people would say, that thing, you didn't hit him, Pat. I mean, I could hear my friends, like, how did you not hit him?
Totally.
And then Linda would say, if you hit them, you would never be able to live with yourself, because that's how I feel. But this is the message, and I'm going to lean into this today, and I got to tell you, everything I read about this was a perfect message for me. So can you, Carrie, invite people today to look at the little things, but feel them, to ask that little thing what it wants to share, right?
Yes, and especially the invitation is so great because it's not with judgment about am I doing it right or wrong. It's an invitation to be open to like looking at your life, where you are in the present moment, and not faking like, I guess I should be grateful for the job, or I guess I should be like, kind of like, okay, what am I grateful for? It's not about a gratitude practice. That's a separate thing to me. Noticing the little things are the things that are in our environment that either spark joy or bring comfort or understanding or peace or something like that. So, like, to me, the idea of even sometimes my access to taking a really long, deep breath, to me, is a little thing. So, like, reset me, right? But
yeah.
Also being aware of my environment. And I think we all can do this. Even in the midst of chaos, we can look around us and say, what's the little thing in this moment, right? And, again, it's for peace, comfort, hope, awareness, interest, joy. What is the little thing, though, that you might look back? And I just have to say this, too. Sometimes I ask people, if you could go back in time and you thought about something that was a little thing but is actually a big thing, you know, what would you say? And sometimes people give the most interesting answers because I'm like, you can't talk about when you got married or had kids or graduated, anything like that would be a big thing, right? A little thing that at the moment just was a thing, and then later you're like, wow, that really shifted something for me, or that was helpful, or something, you know, because sometimes when we attach, when we know, oh, in the past, when I have noticed little things, or I've had those things, it's actually carried me, you know, forward in some ways. So sometimes we have to remember that we do have little things, and we do have to remember what grounds us, what gives us hope, or comfort, or peace, or joy, like all those things, that's what we're looking for in the little things, and not to judge your little things by someone else's little things, right? Because then it gets all convoluted. It's a very solo journey, if you will, one that only you can appreciate. And then that's why I love that the world is big enough for all of us, because the things that are my little things won't be yours. And that's okay. It's not supposed to be that way. I'm on my own journey, right? Seeing the world from my perspective. So I encourage you to think, like, what are the little things for me in my life right now? Not what they should be. What they are in this moment.
I want to just reference the board you have behind you, if you don't mind, if I do that. And Olivia, thank you so beautifully for the framing you're doing on this on Facebook Live. It's just brilliant. And I want to talk about them because when I look at those, I have a childhood that has very few memories. And it wasn't until my uncle handed over to me his pictures from God knows when. And he did a lot of this before he passed away. But I want to take a moment to look behind you.
because each one of them is a little thing.
Yes.
But each one of them by themselves has, and I didn't look at them all because I can't see them all, but each one of them has so much emotional love. I am so reminded. I think I'm going to cry. I think I'm going to get a little teared up about this at the moment. It just talks to who you are, though. See, that's why you're so brilliant at what you do. That's why you're an expert when it comes to emotional intelligence. That's why when people want you to come out and speak, you blow them away. Because you understand the power of little things, one by one by one. And the meaning for when you have an accumulation of them and how you move beyond existing into living. Isn't that what today's show is about, Carrie?
Oh, my gosh, that's a perfect summary. And I didn't even think to bring up my picture board behind me, but all of this is little moments of my life that bring me joy. And the reason I have it here in my practice, in my office, is because sometimes it's a great access point for people to say, what's this, what's that? But each of these is a special picture or memory or an experience to me that is exactly what you're saying. And I like to live in that way, right? I need reminders of that. And I want to share that with people, too. I want to share that. Because I mean, when you share your little things, it gets permission from the people to share theirs. Again, without judgment, but with curiosity and kindness and excitement for what's like your raccoon thing is going to make me laugh all day long, right? Because I got some insight into you, right? And you noticing that behind me, that's how I express myself. That gives you insight into me, right? And that, in the end, brings us closer together, which is beautiful.
It is. I want to thank you for today, and I want to ask you again to tell people how they can find out about you, but also the people that listen to the shows are from all walks of life, and I just want to say to those of you out there that are in organizations, please think about, Carrie, when you're thinking about how someone speak to you about emotional intelligence or other things, please think about her. You know, you're getting a snippet of who she is today. I get to talk to her about a whole bunch of things off air. But Carrie, again, please tell people how they can find out about you, but also what's your personal message? And I can't wait till we do the next show. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with today?
Okay, I want to leave you with a few things. So you can find me at KnutsonSpeaks.com. And part of the things I like to do with my presenting, like EQ has just been a jumping point for so many things. Like right now I'm doing a big talk called Thriving Through Change. So a lot of like, how are we going to get through this time? And also self-care and compassion, fatigue, burnout, and stress. So like all of my talks are gained to like, how can I really help people in this moment, right? And my closing message today is if you could really be present in your life, whatever the circumstances, remember not living in the past, not living in the future, but finding peace in the present, how could you use this idea of I'm going to bring some awareness into my life today to notice some little thing that brings me joy, peace, comfort, hope, whatever that feeling that you need is, and just be there for a moment and let yourself experience what that could be like to be in the moment and find peace in whatever moment that you're in.
You have been listening to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will help you to know which thoughts are keeping you small in order for you to get big. Get big and live your life out loud. For more information, visit KnutsonSpeaks.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. We're still in the Kennedale Hill area, 405 northbound. It's heavy around Southeast 64th Street, a construction zone. A little further up around the I-90 interchange as you're approaching into Bellevue, flowing in that area as well. Over on I-5 northbound, it is full around the I-90 and those downtown Seattle. It's a good thing it breaks free after it looks like gets away. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and how do you use stress to fuel your success? We'll be chatting about that with special guest, Deb Lewis.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. An FDA advisory committee will meet this week to discuss emergency use authorization for Moderna and Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine boosters. Currently, both vaccines have emergency use authorization for adults 18 and up. The committee will also look at data of a booster that differs from the original vaccine received and is described as a mix-and-match booster. A whistleblower is accusing top Capitol Police officials of not doing enough to help officers fighting for their lives during the January 6th riot. The unidentified whistleblower sent a letter to lawmakers accusing two Capitol Police officials of not sharing vital intelligence before the attack. President Biden is praising the courage of LGBTQ plus people. Michael Kastner reports.
The president released a statement on National Coming Out Day and said every member of the LGBTQ plus community is loved and accepted just the way you are, regardless of whether or not you come out. He said his administration is committed to ensuring LGBTQ plus people can live openly, proudly, and freely in every corner of the U.S.
Hillary Clinton says she has no plans to leave the political world. The former 2016 Democratic presidential nominee and Secretary of State told Good Morning America, although she doesn't have plans to run for anything anytime soon, she will never be out of the game of politics. Clinton said she feels our democracy is at stake, citing the Capitol riot and disinformation on Facebook. Dozens of businesses in Florida face possible fines for violating Florida's ban on requiring proof of a COVID-19 vaccine. Rick Hochul has details.
Governor Ron DeSantis signed an executive order banning so-called vaccine passports, but the Orlando Sentinel released a list of 120 cases under review by the state health department for allegedly going against the policy. The list includes a Harry Styles concert in Orlando, the Miami Marlins baseball team, AT&T, Starbucks, and various businesses and government agencies. Violators could be fined up to $5,000 per infraction.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Here are the major rules for all the KKNW online contests. Entries for online contests can be completed on the announced website and will be accepted through the deadline published on the contest page. Winners will be selected at random from all eligible entries received. One entry per person. You could win event tickets, trip giveaways, or other prizes of similar value. To be eligible, you must be at least 18 years old, have not won in the last 30 days, and reside within the KKNW listening area. Complete contest rules are available at 1150kknw.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday and for Indigenous Peoples Day or Columbus Day for others. Mostly sunny skies, high temperatures around 54, 55 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear skies, low temperatures dropping down to a crisp 39, 40. For Tuesday and the rest of the week, more clouds and showers expected. High temperatures in the low 50s, with low temperatures in the mid 40s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. I am so very excited about today's show with Colonel Deb Lewis. Now, for those of you, you're going to hear about who Deb is throughout the show today, but you're going to also hear about what this topic is about and what this one area of expertise is. She's got many. For those of you out there that want to know more about her, think about this, mentallytoughwomen.com. Just think about that for a little bit, mentallytoughwomen.com. That is something that she is passionate about, time doing, building, and bringing to us purposefully. So when I think about Deb, I think about this retired Army colonel, Harvard MBA, commanded three U.S. Army Corps of Engineering districts, right? And it goes on. It goes on about what her accomplishments are. It goes on about who she is. But what doesn't get said is when you are in these environments, you are there in environments that what? Stress, that word. And so what do you learn about that, and what do you choose? And, you know, what Colonel Deb Lewis has chosen is to look at this, understand it, and help people with it to put it to work for them. And today's show is all about this. I've been waiting for this. How do you use stress to fuel your success? Benny, I'm getting ready to get the rap song on that. Colonel Deb, great to have you.
Aloha. Wonderful to be here again with you, Pat.
I love this topic. And yet, I want to ask you this question because there are a lot of folks that don't know how to do what we're talking about today. And I'm hoping today in the show that we can give people signs and symbols and things so that they can realize that they're at a point, an opportunity point, if they just knew dot, 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 if they just knew dot, 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 dot. And, you know, one of the things that you're doing is you're helping people look at, see themselves, see in the eyes of others. You're looking and helping people understand that there are things that we can do to move ourselves forward. And we talked a little bit about it at the last show, right?
Yes, we did. But there's so much more.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean,
but everything, though, I'd love for your audience to just think about, it can be one life-changing insight. I mean, that I've had over and over and over again, but one insight can completely flip you to a whole different perspective. When I compared life to an obstacle course, we can get into that more about the West Point obstacle course that I had to overcome, and it took me only 4 years to figure out how to go from not really doing well, passing, but then getting an A+ 4 years later. When you think of life that way, that it's just a series of obstacle courses and obstacles, but those are things that, you know, the ones that look horrible could be the easiest one you can get through if you just knew what was that trick, what was that tip that someone could share with you. Mine happened to be, my favorite one happened to be a 10-foot wall. Now, I'm 5'5", a 10-foot wall, you look at that thing on the course and you're thinking, oh, my goodness, how am I going to get over that thing? Well, there are ways to do it, and I found out I could hit that wall and flip over that, and I didn't hardly expend any energy. But if you don't understand that, you'll look at the obstacle and stare at it and maybe never get over it. And that's what we want to help people do, that look at life, and that changes your perspective from thinking that you're out of control, that somebody put this obstacle in your way, to knowing you have the power to turn that into something good and not even an obstacle. Maybe it helps you take you to a new level.
You know, I was having a conversation with someone just about this morning, and, you know, I tried to recall in my life where some of these lessons came from. I was trying to recall, and I always point back to my stepmom. I mean, no matter how many times I reflect, maybe I can't remember like a thing, like a specific thing. I remember my stepmom, and I remember a lot about her. But this is really what we're going to talk about today. You know, what is it about a childhood experience under the age of 10 with a stepmom that just didn't know how to quit, 12, second one at 13, we're not even going to say how that even happened, but what do I remember about her that's so similar to you? Now, clearly, I'm not jumping a wall. Not today. That Jessica did, though. She just entered a obstacle course thing. But for me, my wall was a pogo stick. Many people don't even know what a pogo stick is. Mm. It's a thing that you do this. Now, by the way, they have extreme pogo stick sports. Like, I think they put engines on them. I couldn't do it. We got them as gifts. I threw it to the street. I'm in New York. Threw it down the street. And I'm like, tried it once. Threw it down. Moved on. My two sisters. And I don't want to tell the whole story, but I will tell you this about my stepmom. I went to go in the house for dinner, and she wouldn't let me in. And she said, you need to get on that pogo stick. Now, after an hour of resistance, anger, I'll show you something happened. I probably was quiet enough to realize I was not going to win that, and maybe there was a way to be successful. Do you find that in the people you work with? I don't know how to describe that time that we go through where we allow ourselves not to be our stress, not to be our anger.
Yes. I think your story is fascinating because it hits on a point. Where did we learn how to handle stress? Well, if you don't have a stepmom like that who's going to help you work through it, how many kids do you know will say, Mom, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I'm not going to do it. Well, adults who've never been trained are saying the same things in their head when things get tough. And the idea is what if it's the best thing that ever happened to you? And you won't know that until you go past being uncomfortable. I think that's one of the huge obstacles that people have when they look at anything. They're going to be uncomfortable. Maybe you'll even look foolish, but you want to pursue it and say, give it the try. It's like testing the food, right, when we were kids. Try it. You can say you don't like it after you've tried it, but you have to try it. And most people will look at the appearance of it and decide, that's not for me. And then
you
know,
I love what we talked about in the first episode. We talked about so many great things, and we're going to touch upon them and really look at this thing that people so create their stories over, which we call stress, right? You know, we talked about a couple of things last time, just stuck with me. And by the way, been reminded of them and can just literally hear you. A couple of them were this idea of finding the power within and not imploding. And the other thing I think you mentioned, and again, I apologize, Colonel Deb, that I'm going to paraphrase, but the idea of getting up and getting back on the horse, if I remember it. Mm-hmm. People sometimes will get to the place where stress becomes the ruler. They forget they have those abilities, don't they?
Yes. They forget that they can respond, not react. See, it's really not their fault, and I want people to understand it's not their fault. Until you learn that we are hardwired. We are hardwired to react in survival mode. And anytime we react in survival mode, what are we talking about? Fight, flight, shut down. We all really terrible strategies. I'm in the military. Strategies designed to get what we want. Take the hill. Go do this. But when we have strategies in life that aren't working well, I go to football. An interception strategy is one where we get exactly what we don't want. And if you have no skill to know the difference in a scenario, you will react with that survival mode response and completely miss all the other better choices that will get you what you want. And I think that takes training and that takes understanding.
You know, I think about this and I think about the training that you've had. But more important, I think about what the journey was like for you. And you just shared like a little teeny part of it. You know, the idea of the wall, right? You know, not being able to get over the wall. I want to ask you this question before we go to break, and let's pick it up when we come back. Somebody said something to me once that I really struggle with, and I actually don't believe it anymore, is you either have it when you're born and you don't. Now, I will say for myself, I don't know how true that is, because I take me and then you, me plus my stepmom, Doris, that got me to where I am today. When we come back, how do we negotiate this ship that we are on so that every hot button doesn't turn into a flame, every wall doesn't turn into a stop sign, every boss that bangs a fist on a table doesn't turn into a career annihilator? How do we turn stress into success? Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back. Listen. Life can be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Who taught you or your kids how to handle stress? That's right, no one. I'm combat veteran Deb Lewis, and I'm on a mission to change that. My new children's book, Why is Pono Not Pono Today, is set in Hawaii. Lovable characters, Pono the Bull and his friend Kuleana, show us how a stressful situation ends happily. Look closer to reveal powerful ways to handle all types of stress. Start loving your stress-filled life today. Go to mentallytoughwomen.com.
Is your life stressful and unfulfilling? Would you like to make changes, but you don't know how? Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show. I'd like to recommend The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer. This is a memoir with questions to help you change your story and live a life that's more pleasing to you. For more information or to purchase this fabulous book, please go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or go to CarlGreer.com. Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal Quantum Touch principles. For more information, visit QuantumTouch.com. Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit youarepurepotential.com for more info. Can you truly say that you know and love yourself? Courtney Cottrell is an author, speaker, and 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy, here to encourage you to take back your power and live your life with intention and purpose. Tune in to Unapologetically Favored every fourth Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Walk in your purpose. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Courtney. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. We're a great show with Deb Lewis joining me here today. I just want all of you to know this is a question. Right? How do you use stress to fuel your success? This is not a question of whether or not can you. See, we're already at the assumptive that says you can. So what today is about is to understand the underpinnings of what stress may look like for you, which may be different for me, may be different from Deb, right? And what triggers it, how to pay attention to the signs. But before we get to that question, where maybe you have been told by somebody, you know what, you're always going to be anxious. You're always going to be stressful. In the past month, I've been working with women, and one of them in particular is, I'm just anxious. That's who I am. I'm just anxious. That's who I am. And so today, yeah, maybe you're, maybe that's you, but can you use any of this to move forward? Before we do that, first, tell everybody about what you're doing, not just how you're helping people with this, but also how you're helping people to be mentally, women to be mentally tough.
Thank you. I have put a whole lot on my website. I think that's really where kind of the rich stress tools and the understanding of what are we really talking about today when we say we're mentally tough, and how does that help me be more successful, achieve more in life that I want to, set goals and be able to do it. And also, as my shield, as we talked last time, protect me from all the garbage that's coming my way so that I can do that. But mentallytoughwomen.com, and there's a tab, for example, that's stress tools. And that has everything from complimentary courses that I think people, just basics, you must understand these if you want to get some of the training that will not come naturally. This won't come naturally. You're not going to necessarily glean it elsewhere unless you're actually trained by someone who understands these things. And then there's other courses. There's a book that came out. This is the one where I tell people, I take them from here where people are deeply disturbed to working well with others. That's really the essence of doing that. And while it looks like a children's book, it's so much more. And then if people want to get results faster, I do laser focus sessions where you spend several hours. But mentallytoughwomen.com, they're able to get a hold of me as well as look at some of those things to get them started. I want to challenge everyone who's listening to go do the free courses, how to handle extreme stress, because that's where we lose it all. And we're going to talk in a minute of 21 stressful things that happened to me in a 24-hour period, and there's only 21 because I stopped counting after that. It was like, why go any higher than 21? This was crazy because stress happens to us. We can't run away from it. It happens to us. If we run away, that's survival mode thinking. And I'll tell you, the outcomes are far worse in our lives. It will never address the things that are underlying it. And when we understand that, we see adversity as an opportunity. We are able to achieve more in our lives and happier. I'm joyful. Even when it's crazy, I was thinking, oh, wow, this is like the 21st thing that happened. And one of them is missing my plane by 30 minutes that only goes once a day. And I missed it because of things that happened on the other end. And yet I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be great when I talk to Dr. Pat this week. You know?
Well, but part of this is, you've helped thousands of people go from stress to seeking a path of work to being successful, from conquering life's challenges. You know, you also have thousands of people, close to 4,000 students that take your online courses from extreme stress to stress basics. You know, you have been an expert in this field for several reasons. One, you have experienced it. You've learned how to move beyond the obstacles that show up that we call stressful. And I can only imagine how many really hot buttons get triggered in the military, especially from having a family that's been in the military, and they tell me. But it's so absolutely relevant to where we are today. And you said something, and I want to get back to it. I don't know how many times people get told, you know what, Deb, that's just the way you are. Make the best out of it. Okay, you're that, Pat, that's just the way you are. Make the best out of it. Okay, Mary, over you, you're stressful and anxious all the time. Okay, nothing you can do about it. I got to tell you, if any of that was true, what? Would you and I be here? What?
No, we wouldn't be here. And I think that it makes me think of a time where someone told me a story about a car dealership where someone took a used car and they took it to one place and they were going to get like almost nothing for it. And then they took it to another place and not get maybe a little more, not for it. And then they took it to a classic car dealer and they wanted like $40,000. They were going to pay $40,000. You know, the idea is if we're looking for other people for our worth or to give us feedback about who we are, we're looking in the wrong place. We need to look at the strength within. All I see when I see each person, just like you, I see that hero within them and I see that tremendous talent. Sometimes it's disguised by grumpiness. Sometimes, you know, like the bull, you know, they're very grumpy. But I'm fascinated with that because we talked last time, what's the difference between a cynic and an optimist and an idealist, and that is that they were slammed. And they are passionate. They still have that energy, but it's now been turned into being cynic instead of being an idealist. And I help them regain that. I help them see that potential within them in order to go forward. So you can say that maybe you have a tendency, like I'm 5 foot five, okay, I have to develop my leaping ability. You know, the 10-foot wall, I could look at that wall and say, how am I ever going to get up there? Or I can use other things that people understand, like physics and all kinds of dynamics, and I can then run at that wall and know exactly where to place my foot. That just makes it a breeze to flip over it. I mean, that's
crazy. I love it.
People have told me a whole lot of things, Dr. Pat, and I sometimes, sadly, have those voices in my head. And under stress, those voices can be very loud. And you want to really, really say, go away. I get it. You want to derail me. But we can even go into that, like 21 stressful things.
I want to hear about the 21 stressful things. And you said you stopped counting.
I did. I really did stop counting because I could have had more. But pick a number. Just pick a number.
11 is my number.
These are all hot buttons. What number?
11.
11. Okay. This was a really fun one. Okay. I was exhausted. Have you ever gone to a strange parking lot and then you get your ticket and then you go do your thing and you're coming back and you can't wait? You still have a million things you have to get done and you're in that parking lot and you stick your ticket in and it spits it back out. And it not only spits it back out, it says your ticket is defective. And then you sit there and you look around and there's nobody there. And it's a huge, it's late at night, huge parking lot. So then you say, okay, I'm going to flip it. So I flipped it and put it in another way. Spits it out. You have a defective ticket. Flipped it the third way. Same thing, fourth way, same thing. Okay, now I've tried every which way you can stick that ticket in. Now I'm looking, okay, what can I do? It says push button, push button. Nope, nobody comes. I am now really exhausted, very frustrated. Get out of my car, go around and say, okay, maybe I can push myself a new ticket, you know, and then stick it in. No, they have safeguards for that. Then somebody comes up behind me to go out. And I'm like, okay, I got to back up. Okay, just hold on, put your hand out. I back up. I move to the side. Guess what? Their ticket works. So now you're really upset. So that was one. It took me an hour to work through it. But those little gremlins that wanted to drag me down and just go ballistic, I'm like, nope, I'm going to get out of here. I focused on what I wanted. I'm going to do this. I'll figure it out. I'll find a person. I'll do this. Yes, it took longer and frustrating, and then I finally found somebody who very unwillingly let me out.
Wow.
But that was just one little thing. Oh,
that is. And, you know, isn't that interesting about it? I want to go over some of these others, too, because I think we all have them. I was getting ready for the show with you today, and this was, like, on my mind after I heard you and talk about 21 things. And I realized coming in today that there was a level of stress I was feeling, and I just sat for a moment and I realized what it was. Once I realized what it was, then if you ever looked at our production room, we have 1, 2, 3 whiteboards in the production room. I actually have one in here. And I come from an environment in corporate facilities management that they used to call them what? War rooms. Remember that analogy? And so you'll see whiteboards. And I realized we were in a new week. And I said to Jessica, which is so unlike me, they don't see me as a detail person, but I had the pushpin, all full of email follow-ups. And I said, Jessica, can you just take 10 minutes and just do me a favor? Go over all this stuff I got and just do an update and update the whiteboard. Now, I felt the stress that I had. I knew what my day was going to be like, and I had this moment where I could have, what did you call it, imploded. I couldn't.
Or exploded.
That or most, exploded.
A lot of people would explode. Jessica wouldn't get nice Pat, Dr. Pat. Jessica would get the very vocal, forceful. And because it's so uncharacteristic for you, any little bit would be taken as a sign, right?
That's there.
And then you would be passing that energy on to them, and they might be changing, you know, and implode because they may not have a high level of tolerance of that change.
And that's what preparing for this show helped me with, even though I didn't really know that, but I did read it. Now, you had 21 and you said you stopped. You said you're at 21 and you stopped. I want to do one more before we go to break because that experience that you just had, I just like almost hot flashed myself to death here thinking about that because that airport situation, that is like, I don't even know how you... Let's do one more before we go to break. You pick this one.
Okay. Let me see. I think that, I'll tell you one that really, it did push me, like you, to do something different. So I'll flip over really quickly. After I left the parking garage, I went to get gas, and I then couldn't find my wallet. So that was one. And I would have had a whole lot more problems after that. So I'm skipping over that a little bit because you can just get to see that it just kept happening. Everybody can be pushed over the edge. That's what I really want listeners to know. Every one of us, no matter how well-trained you are, you have got to, one, know where you're going to the dark side. Know when you're going there. And so just imagine this and gassing and all these other issues that kept happening. There are another five more that happened at that point. And then I'm sitting there finally finding the place where I can catch the ride back to the hotel so I can get some rest, see my daughter, all that. And I'm sitting there talking to my husband. I found the right place. That was another one of the numbers, finding the right place, where to sit for it, not what I was told. And I'm sitting there, and you know when those buses start at the airport backing up, you have this one place where you're supposed to be picked up, and then one won't leave, and then they start backing up, and then they're on the second and the third. Well, I'm in the corner of my eye, I'm looking, and I can see one on the far side of the vehicle that isn't moving. And it's going slow, going slow, going slow. Can't read who it is. Can't read who it is. And then as soon as they nose past this one vehicle that stops, they gun it and go off. And guess whose bus that is? My bus. So I jump off the bench, and I'm running after the bus in the street with the phone in one hand. And I'm going, stop, stop. You know, do they stop? No. No. And I guess I need to do the companion because this is just indication. I call the hotel to tell them, hey, this is exactly where I am. And all the phones were out at the hotel, every single one. That was another number. So anyway, we can stop there. But I'm just telling you, it was
like
this.
I mean, that's what we're talking about.
And I start laughing, actually, because, you know, you could start crying. You could get really upset. But I could picture myself what that must have looked like to everybody else running after that bus, for one. Who's this? That really worked well. And then thinking, figure the odds of an entire hotel's phone system being out at the exact time I need to pass them a message.
Well, and that's what we're going to talk about when we come back, because this is the answer to the question. Are you in the boat where you're stuck in the story where, one, you keep teaching old dog new tricks, that's one little expression, or, you know, you're too old to change or you're too young to think about knowing? When we come back, mindset matters. Mindset matters. And even if you find yourself getting closer and closer and closer to an edge, there's a way for you to stop and realize that the end of the ledge and the drop is 6 inches and not 60,000 feet. Let's take a short break, everybody. When we come back, that and much more from Colonel Deb Lewis. We'll be right back. You're
driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dream. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com. Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more info.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you, great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. I'm so thrilled we're talking about this. If you've just tuned in and missed any part of this, of course, this will replay later. And you could also go to Transformation Talk Radio and listen to it again. The question really is this. How do you use stress to fuel your success? We're going to talk about that. How do you use stress to fuel your success? Before we keep going, can you please tell people, Deb, how they can find out more about you, how they can find out about your workshops, all of the above? Please do that.
Yes. I think the easiest way is just go to my website, mentallytoughwomen.com. And once you're there, the first page has a couple things, like the book that we talked about, that it'll be available so that you can click on that and get the book. This really, if you understand the essence of this book and the questions that it asks in the back, then whether it's for the youngest or the oldest in the family, it helps you understand how to handle stress. And if you look to tab two, which is the stress tools, then you're going to see so much more. There's there's complimentary courses. There's a companion course that goes with the book to go into more detail about the layers that are in that book. And also there's things that you can do, such as we can tailor. I do a lot of custom tailored presentations, webinars, training for different groups, as well as if people really want quick results for a situation, they are just in that funky place and they really need that laser focus session, I can offer that too.
And I want to say to everybody, if you go to the website, please go. It's mentallytoughwomen.com /stress tools. And if you go there, you're going to find exactly what Deb just said. You're going to see there's a free online that you can download how to handle extreme stress and create your lifeline. And then there are stress basics, how to handle stress to build a better future. And then, of course, this is a must. This is a must. How to take kids from stress to success. So everything is right here, including how you can get a hold of Deb, work with her one-on-one, or bring Deb in for your group. Okay, so here we are. And, you know, this is the part that I was really excited and eager to talk with you about. And this is the one where we talk about the mindset, if we could. And I love that we're talking about something that has an emotional, let me just call it an emotional ticker, right? An emotional ticker. And people just don't realize that here, we can do stuff to help, right?
Exactly. Exactly. We are so minimally tapping into what is possible in life. We are these miracle beings, and we think that we're very independent, but in fact, we're all connected. And this energy, you can deny the energy and pretend it's not there and put up the walls, and then you're going to miss out, though, on what's happening around you. And when you understand that you can take the exact same situation, because you see it in others, the exact same situation, one person thrives on it. It's like, bring it on. That's when you're mentally tough. Bring it on. Okay. This is a good sign. Changes are happening. Or someone else will say, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me. This is so awful. I can't move past it. I can't get up. You know, the difference is that mindset. Really, that's what it is. What lens are you putting on? I have sunglasses. You know, you want to put, what are the glasses that you're looking at life through? And I try to surround myself with people who know the difference. And they're also helping me because, oh, by the way, I can cognitively understand the difference, but I'm still an emotional being. And when things happen, sometimes your body just gets zapped and you don't even know why. Could be something in your childhood, and then something triggers that memory, and you go to a place where you're not wanting, you know, you're screaming going toward that place, but you can pull yourself out of it. We compared it last time to a bucking horse, you know. Never let the head get down to the ground because you're going to be launched. Yes. But if you can keep it up, you got the tools and the strength. It's also the strength. You have to have strength. If you think that you can do it, you have to, like a shield. If you're just holding a bottle of water and you held it out at arm's length for any length of time, your arm's going to get fatigued because it's not natural and it's an added weight. But when you can practice and people understand it with athletics, they're not necessarily translating it to stress. And this is all pretty much all we're asking is to reframe that mind and look at, instead of saying what's the worst thing that just happened, what's the best thing that just happened? What's something, even our worst situations in life, we can ask ourselves, what's one good thing that never would have happened if that didn't happen? And it may take time, but once you get there, then you move through that toxic time and focus on what's most important.
You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about that's really tied into this and into what we talked about previously is in the 21 things. There's a point by which you are at a pivotal mental decision point. It's the point where you decide, I'm going to pull over or I'm just going to drive through the fence, drive through the gate, right? Now, that wouldn't be the first time somebody has been there and decided, I'm just going to go through the gate. Those are actions that result from doing what you're coaching us to do today, what you're helping us do today, or not. And it's a nanosecond of time that could guide us in one way or the other. How important is mindset and training of mindset for that?
It's so essential. It overrides your survival mode thinking. It overrides, you put it on hold. I've been in combat. I've been in places where, yeah, you got to move physically. Like, I need to go to a bunker. I got to move. But falling short of anything that's life-threatening, then you have a whole lot of choices to pick from. And our bodies and our environment is telling us, you should be angry. You should stop doing that. Oh, just go there and don't engage anybody. You know, those are all survival mode strategies. And unless you know the difference, you will choose them. And you'll be encouraged and nurtured to choose them. That's a great idea. I go back to what we talked about earlier is the people around you may not, they're trained the way they are or exist the way they are, and they don't see the other choices. And sometimes they look at a person like you and me. I look at a happy person, a truly happy person who can deal with this stuff is someone who has been through the worst of life and made the choice to love life, to love the people around them. And they made that choice. And they've had probably the worst life you can ask. And I'm always wanting, when someone's really happy, I don't think of them as what they call that, Pollyanna, that old word, you know, Pollyanna. They don't even have a sense of grip on reality is what people tell you. That is not my experience. My experience is those are the people you want to associate with because chances are you dig a little bit deeper. They probably had one of the hardest lives you can ever imagine, and they made that choice in order to learn how to move through it, use it to their advantage, and love life doing it. I mean, happy. If you're not happy, you can change that. Nobody else is going to give you that gift. You can change it. Stress will give you that gift because it's going to keep happening in your life. You can't run away from it. You can run, but you can't hide. It's coming after you.
I love that you're talking about this. Did you know one of my nicknames, Pollyanna Patty?
No, I didn't know that. But
I don't get called that much anymore, but when I first started to do the show, that was it. And you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't talk about my life experience as much. I have started to talk about them a little bit more. My mom committing suicide when I was 6, homeless at 17. I mean, I start to talk about them more because I'm sharing parts of that I learned from it.
So I want to talk to the people just like you and me who have been through the war and been able to be so happy and positive. If you do not share your stories with others,
yep,
you will never connect on that deeper level. So you'll have the answers that people need in their lives, but people won't come to you because they don't feel a connection. They think you don't live in the real world. They think that you haven't experienced that kind of life. But once you share those stories, those times where you literally are on the ground being pummeled by life and trying to find a way to pick yourself back up, you know, trying. I've had that so many times, whether it's been marriage or it's been trying to do something physical like the obstacle course and just, you know, ready to give up. I fell from the rope. The rope was my nemesis. You know, the rope was the thing. You had to climb 2 stories and then swing to the upper level and go. And one time I got myself, because of all the other obstacles before it, I got to the top to touched the above the line before you could swing, and my grip froze. I cramped, and I fell. And to add insult to injury, they added penalty points because I could just made me stay there. You know, I got all the way to the top, and then they, you know, you fall and they do it. And by golly, you know, by the 4th year, I was going to make sure that happened. But again, if I don't share that with you, my struggle, people think you're not in the real world and that you're just, these are things. But my tools and strategies are all designed on thousands and thousands of interactions to keep wondering, if I only did one thing, that's why the extreme stress course is important. So with all this stress, would it be okay just to take one moment to do number one, which is on my extreme stress course? Because I think it will help us. Are you ready for this? Because we've been talking about a lot of stressful things, and everybody needs to be able to do this. Because it's like a reset button. Here's your reset button. I call it the waterfall method. Now, in Hawaii, we have beautiful waterfalls. Think of that beautiful water coming down with the foamy white and going through. Now, that's going to be like the air we breathe. We can breathe different ways, and people talk about different ways to breathe. But the waterfall method is a very distinct way that when your heart starts pounding out of your chest, or you just feel something coming on, that if you do this exercise, you will reset yourself. Because how long can we last without breathing? It's the shortest amount of time. It's like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
In 1 minute, when you stop breathing, you start killing your brain cells. And we do this under stress. We stop our breathing. We think it's natural. It's not under stress. And so the waterfall method is designed to get us back to natural and maybe even better, because you're probably 50% only use 50% of the lung capacity. 50% of us only use 50. Somehow as a child we knew how to do it, and we unlearn that. And we think we can get by with only 50% of our lung capacity. And you can, but you're denying that rich oxygen that helps you think clearly, helps you function well. And so the waterfall method, it's 10 seconds, 3 breathing in, 7 breathing out. We're going to do it 3 times, 3 breathing in, very special. We're going to use this beautiful, I love gadgets. If you ever studied the nose and how air comes in the nose, when you breathe in through your nose, you're actually moisturizing your vocal cords, allowing you to speak more. Those who only breathe through the mouth have very dry vocal cords. So you breathe through your nose and out with your mouth, and it's 3 in, 7 out. You ready to go? Let's start. In. Out. In. Out. In through your nose. Out through your mouth. Now what you allowed that air to do is push all that gook out of your mouth, out of your body. The in is clean and cool. When you breathe out, you put your hand to your mouth, it's hot. Hot, nasty goo leaving your body. You do 30 seconds of that, even 10 seconds, and you will, what happens? How do you feel, Dr. Pat?
I think for me, as I was doing it, I just cleansing. I can't describe it very well other than that. You know, I could feel like the first one, yes, but by the time I got to the second, you could just feel things feel open up. And to be honest with you, I couldn't remember what we were talking about before I started it.
Well,
so I'm like, I just had that moment where just everything stopped.
That's wonderful. And I think when people have more of that, I've ordered myself to do that exercise. I one time was so stressed, and I could tell that my heart rate was really starting to go out of my chest. You don't have to close your eyes. You can still, I've done it driving. You can breathe in and out because you're not going to do it forever. You don't want to do it for 10 minutes, even just 3 exercises. And I love to tie in visuals and thinking pieces to whatever I'm doing physically, because I want that to be symbolic of I'm cleansing my body, like you were saying. It's a cleansing experience. And then you can focus. Now you have the oxygen to help you focus. You're protecting. I don't know if I showed the helmet. Here's the helmet. I showed you the shield.
Yeah.
Here's the helmet. This is to protect your wisdom. These are all the tools that you can have. The military has a number of them because you need to protect your head for a number of reasons, but you want to protect your wisdom. And Athena, the goddess of war, yeah, and wisdom, understood that completely.
Oh, my gosh. And she, I have a giant poster of her right in my bedroom. You know, we talked about a lot today because, one, I don't think that this topic has ever been more relevant. Yes, I went through some decades of, you know, stressful kind of times in my life, things that I did. But this is different. You know, this is where so many people are on the edge of losing hope, on the edge of losing faith. And I think it's exactly because they're not aware of what they're accumulating, right?
Yes.
And I think energetically.
And history. History has replete with examples of people overcoming odds, overcoming illness, overcoming so many things. How does that happen? It's not a fluke. you can be very intentional and deliberate with that. Mm-hmm. But until we build and use these stress skills so that we can reinforce, instead of reinforcing survival mode thinking, until we do that, we're going to fall short of our potential. Mm-hmm. And our potential is vast. It's vast.
Yeah. And you and I are examples of it. And we're examples of things that we've gone through in life, and here we are, right? You know, I wasn't the poster child, you know, in sort of the high school thing that said, oh, she's going to be doing this. I was the poster child that when they found me for the reunion thought I was dead already. But this is, we're living examples, and that's why I love doing these shows with you, Deb, because one of the things we're saying to folks is this is a time where even taking your free courses can help them. But more importantly, I have had to work with a lot of people in my life. I'm not here because I did this on my own. Left up to my own devices, I'd probably still be selling hot dogs in New York City, which is my favorite job. Deb, thank you for today. I want to ask a couple of things. Again, talk about how they can find out more about you. And then personal message and what you'd like to leave us with today, if you don't mind.
Yes. Please go to mentallytoughwomen.com, my website. You'll find out lots more about what we've been talking about and ways that you can gain these skills to override the survival mode thinking that's being pushed as a great option, which is not, and also the things that continue to reinforce it. And I think that the one thing that I would love to leave people with is this is the fun part, because the better you get at handling stress, it becomes so much easier to do insanely. Like, you look at my life and your life. You know, we've done some insane things in our lives, and you love doing it. If you want to be happier in that way and get that sense of accomplishment, then you want to gain greater stress skills. You want to acquire tools like the helmet, like the shield. You want to, like, just like gathering those to protect yourself. And more important is to go forth and help others. That's what we love to do. I know you love to do that. We love to help others gain those insights so that they can achieve their true potential.
Wow. And again, can we also mention to people that, you know, the courses are available certainly on your website, but you also do one-on-one work with people.
Yes.
And that one-on-one work with folks is probably, for me, some of the best work that people can give themselves, the gift they can give themselves, because people can transform immediately.
Yes, it's just like the cleansing. It cleanses them first, and then we restock. We get rid of the things that they were misguided on, and we add those things that give them true strength to be able to deal with this tough world. It's a tough world out there. If you saw my 21 things, hey, you know, I can be the best expert in anything, but life happens, and we just want to be prepared. I'm all for preparing. You may never need it, but if you need it, especially in a pinch and over and over and over, then you're going to be successful and you're going to love the life and you're going to take care of your family and loved ones. I think that if you do it for no one else, do it for them. When you're at your best, they can be at their best.
And that is really, for me, some of the most powerful energies we can create. When we are so well investing in ourselves that we can do that investing in our loved ones. Colonel Deb Lewis, thank you, Deb, so much for today. I'm excited. Please go over to Deb's website. Make sure you go to the stress, and when you do, lots of great information. And remember to do what we just did today. Remember to do that. Stop and do it. Thank you so much, Fred.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those...